Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, baby dub.
Money.
Can't give it to life. Oh. There's gotta be more.
going on right now, y'all. Let it breathe. Up real quick. This is it, y'all. This is it, y'all. You've been waiting and debating. Here it is, y'all. Throw your stuff from your past. Shake it off, y'all. But they said you wouldn't last. Who you is, y'all. What your dreams back? Let's get it. Your people mind back? Let's get it. What your family back? Let's get it. Are you ready? Let's get it. I speak against everything that comes to destroy the purpose in your life. Worrying about your finances, your future, where you can't even sleep at night. Speak against depression and fear, every attack from the enemy. This is your day, the Lord made it, baby.
Tuned in to Real Talk with Kia, where we bring it to you real. Here is your host, Kia Evans.
Great Tuesday, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Real Talk with Kia Radio. As always, I am your host, Kia Evans. Today, we will be discussing a very real and deep issue of suicide. Suicide is an issue we are constantly faced with. We see it on TV. We hear about it. We hear it in the news. And some of us have actually dealt with suicide. We may have lost a loved one due to suicide, or we may even have been tempted with suicide ourselves. So today we're going to discuss suicide, you know, what it is, how it comes about, how to fight it, and how to win. And also about how to be healed from it, because sometimes we can encounter certain situations and it can be so dramatic to us that sometimes we don't even know what to do or what we should do in order to get healed from this situation. So I'm so excited about today. I thank God about what he's going to do on this show, in this ministry on today. You know, it is my goal. It is the vision of this ministry to make sure that the people of God are educated, to make sure that we are made aware, to make sure that we have make our lives transform, you know, just make a change in the lives of the people of God. That is what we're striving for. So I'm so excited about what God is going to do with us today. Our special guest will be Pastor Gwen Lee. As you know, Pastor Gwen Lee have already, you know, she's not a stranger. This is my sister in Christ. I love her. She keeps me encouraged. She keeps pushing me, and, you know, she sees greatness in me, and she's a very good supporter of this radio show and this ministry. She was with us when we had our Women in Leadership teleconferences, and she was a major, major woman of God that just shared her story, shared some insight on what it was like to be a woman in leadership. So I thank God for her. I'm blessed to be able to be connected to such a powerful woman of God who loves God. She loves God's people. You know, she really aims to do the will of God. So I thank God for that. I do see all my callers. I thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show. I still see people coming in. I see people joining us in our chat. So that's great. During this show, if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, or if you would like to share something or say something, all you have to do is press the number 1. I'll be able to see your number, and we'll bring you up on mic, bring you on air, so that way you can share whatever it is that God has given you to share. I do ask, though, that we make sure that we keep this positive, make sure that we keep this in the will of God. Amen? Okay. Just a few announcements. Of course, you know, Real Talk with Kia is every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, every Tuesday at 6, unless noted otherwise. You know, God has really been doing some things, and we have some great things in store for 2015. I don't know how excited you are about 2015, but when I tell you I am excited about this year, I am excited about what God is going to do. I look forward to God doing some great and awesome things through this ministry on this year. Tomorrow, we're actually going to start our empowerment teleconferences. This is something that God has placed on my heart to do with this show. So tomorrow will be our first empowerment teleconference. The special guest that we have is Bishop Brown III. As you know, Bishop Brown has been on our show since the beginning. He has been a major contributor to this ministry, to the show. Bishop Brown is going to come to us, and we're going to talk about how to step away from fear in 2015. What God placed on my mind was, you know, we as Christians, we get up, we preach, we prophesy, we do all these things, but why are we still so fearful when it comes to stepping out into our own, into businesses, and to starting things that God has given us to do outside of ministry? So those are the things that we're going to discuss tomorrow, and I'm very excited about that. I look forward to it. Today, again, is going to be on suicide. This is a real topic. We're going to get deep. We're going to get real. We're going to ask questions. We're going to talk about it. You know, and if you have your Bibles, pull out your Bibles, because we're going to get into the Word of God, because everything, we always have to make sure that we can back it up with the Word of God. Amen? Okay. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, just real quick. When we come back, we're going to bring Pastor Lee on, and we're going to go forth in this, because I'm excited and I'm looking for God to do something awesome. I'm looking for our mindsets to be changed. I'm looking for a new way of thinking. I'm looking for God to transform our lives, to not be so bound and oppressed with the things that the enemy is trying to do to us in this year. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to go ahead and continue our discussion on suicide. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love before for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side. Could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so true.
You gave your life, and still I heard you. Lost so many times to find you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sin.
Here I am, surrender. You paid it all up on the cross. You bled and died.
On Wednesday, January 28th at 12 noon for our empowerment teleconference entitled Stepping Away from Fear in 2015. Our special guest will be Bishop Brown III. Call in at 773-897-6132. Get ready to shift your life. Real talk for real people. Would you like to advertise your ministry, business, or events on the greatest Christian radio station? Well, now you can. If interested, please contact Lady Nakia at 803-658-8507 or email us at fearfullymade30@gmail.com. Real talk for real people.
All right, everyone, we are back. We are back. Thanks so much for tuning in to Real Talk with Kia. For those of you who are just been calling in during our break, thank you for calling in. I am your host, Kia Evans. We are going to have an amazing show on today. We're going to discuss suicide. As you know, suicide is the act of one killing themselves intentionally. It is self-murder. I did ask them, you know, a question on my Facebook page yesterday concerning suicide and received different feedback. So we're going to discuss different things because sometimes this can be a very touchy subject, but it's also a subject that needs to be addressed. It's a subject that the people of God need to be aware of. We need to understand the tricks of the enemy, and we need to understand what we give the enemy power to, how not to give him power, and how to overcome everything that is presented to us, okay? So that is what we're going to talk about today. I have this amazing woman of God on the show with me today, Pastor Lee. Good evening, Pastor. How are you doing today?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Sister Nakia. I am blessed today. You guys look over the voice because we are ready to go in and empower God's people with testimonies and what the Word of God tells us about suicide, because suicide impacts over 8.3 million adults 18 and older every year. That is an astounding number.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, you know, it's such a big issue, Pastor. Like, you know, you turn on the news, you go to the newspaper, you hear about it through ear that somebody has taken their lives. And I've become a witness to the point that suicide doesn't have an age limit. It doesn't start with a specific age. It really doesn't. You know, I saw a video a couple of months ago, a young boy, he could have been like maybe 4, 5, 6, no older than 6, talking about wanting to die, not wanting to be here because he's been being picked on or because, you know, he doesn't feel loved. And these are the things that the people of God and even people that are, you know, that are not in Christ just yet, these are the situations that we're dealing with. And it's sad because sometimes we don't know how to fight it. We don't know how to overcome it. It can seem so overwhelming to the point where, you know, we don't know what to do.
Amen.
So the question that I want to ask you is, why do you think that so many people are resorting to suicide?
I believe that so many people are resorting to suicide because one of the things is they are overwhelmed. They are overwhelmed, and Satan begins to plant this thought in their minds to an already distraught mind. And he begins to plant that thought in your mind that if you take yourself out, as you said, suicide in the Bible is considered self-murder. So it's just like murder, but it's self-murder. And he begins to plant this thought in your mind that you're already distraught, you're already overwhelmed, and the only way that you can get out is if you just kill yourself, that it is the easiest way to go, just kill yourself, and that the pain and the struggle will be over.
Wow.
He wants you to believe that doing that, then you don't go through it anymore. But now when we do that, we actually bring on a more bigger problem. We have family members that we hurt. Some leave children. Then we step out of the will of God because suicide is still a sin.
Yes, it is.
It is still a sin because it's considered self-murder.
That's right. That's right. You know, the thing that really gets me is that there are a lot of us, the people of God, that don't actually know that this is a battle. This is a war that we're fighting. You know, sometimes we're so quick to say, oh, you know, I had these thoughts, and then we just shrug it off like it's just, you know, it's just a thought, when all it is it's a battle in our mind.
Right.
You know, Joyce Meyer, she talked about the battlefield of the mind. Cindy Trim talks about, you know, how to defeat the enemy, how he comes in and plants seeds, as you said, in our minds, and actually have us thinking that these are our thoughts. One thing that I loved about Cindy Trim, I have her book called, it's called The Rules of Engagement, a very powerful book about spiritual warfare. In this book, she describes that Satan's biggest weapon is the power of suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And she stated that as he plants the suggestion into us, he gives us these suggestive thoughts, that the thoughts aren't in, you know, it's not saying, oh, you're this and you're that, but he's putting it as if, okay, I'm sick, you know, I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, you know, I'm a failure. He plants these seeds in our minds, saying, making it seem like I, to where we think that we're actually thinking these thoughts. You understand what I'm saying? And I think that the people of God need to be more aware of what we're actually dealing with. Now, my next question to you, Pastor, is why do you think that suicide can be so enticed? Why do you think that, what is it that you think that he can make it seem so enticing to a person that we resort to this, that we end up going this way, no matter how hard we may try to fight? Why is it so enticing?
It's so enticing because think of it. It is the easiest thing for you to do, and the fastest thing and the fastest way the enemy can get you, not only to eliminate your problem, but to eliminate your destiny. And he begins not only to plant the thoughts of you can't get through this situation, he begins to plant different thoughts in your mind, like you're not worth it, you're not worthy, you can't get through this, it's too hard for you to come back from it, you're going to have so much shame. And so it's really easy when you're already in a low place and you're already ready to get over this. It's so easy to think of, if I do this now, I don't have to deal with this no more. I just want it to stop. I just want it to end. I just want it to go away. But what we have to really come to grips with is 9 times out of 10, when we are struggling with a suicidal thought, if we just go to someone, there's people that care about you that will help you. They don't look at your fault and your wrong. And like you said, it's people that aren't saved. But for those that are saved, we have to begin to get our thoughts and bring them back under captivity of the Word of God. We have to know that we are loved, and we have to know that nothing we've done is great enough for us to take our own lives.
That's right.
And that pain,
pain
you in. I actually battled with suicide myself about 6 years ago, and I'm doing a segment that's called Suicide Has Many Faces. You have suicide has it actually has no face, and it has many faces. You know, there's no certain face of it. Like you said earlier, there's no certain age. There's no different face. There's no color to it. It has many different facets to it. You can be black, white, blue, green, purple, Asian. You can be overweight, underweight. You can be a boy, girl, man, or woman. It just has no face to it.
That's
and,
right.
And you can suicide is something that will come so quickly to some people. They make a pact with suicide. It's they decided and they make a certain date that they want to kill themselves. And when they do that, it's because they really don't want to, and they're battling with doing it, and they're steady hoping that things get better, but they don't do anything in between or realize, basically, that there is something that they can do to get out of committing suicide. Other instances, in my case, when I was battling with suicide, there was a traumatic experience that happened to me. And yes, I was actually saved. I was saved. I was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. I was trusting the Lord. I was living my life like I should. And I had a traumatic experience that took place. And in my mind, it just, oh, my God, it just overwhelmed me. It was like, just kill yourself. The thought instantly hit my mind, and I didn't even know where it came from, but I began to entertain that thought. But what saved me was the love of God and my children, and I began to fight those thoughts. Like, I don't want to die. It's not that I want to die and leave my family, but if I died, I would not have to face this traumatic experience or deal with this.
Right.
And I don't have to wake up tomorrow and go through this pain again. All my troubles will be over.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Amen to that. And, you know, I thank you for sharing your testimony with us, sharing how, you know, how you overcame this. Because some people, you know, we don't know how to do this. You know, some of us experience suicidal thoughts at a very young age. I will give part, you know, mine that after certain situations in my life, I was young in elementary school thinking that I wasn't good enough. You know, thinking that nobody loved me, thinking that, you know, I just wanted to be away from everybody else. I just wanted to go away. And then, you know, sometimes the enemy can also twist, you know, he twists the truth. You know, we think of God, we know that God is a loving God, he's a caring God. You know, God has prepared this wonderful place for us. And so he'll come and tell you things that, you know, go ahead, do that. You know what I'm saying? God got you. God will take care of you. You're going to go and be with God. And it seems that that is the only thing that we can come to. Those are the only things that we can think about, you know, because the pain is so great. I don't feel like I'm being loved here. I don't feel like I'm making it. You know, I don't feel like anybody understands me. I feel like I'm by myself. And then we think of our loving God, and then he can take that and twist it to try to make it seem like, you know what, this is your only way out. This is where you need to go.
Yeah.
This is what you need to do. And, you know, I'm at all about how the people of God are not so aware as we should be. It breaks my heart to the point where sometimes it seems like we're not strong enough to fight. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, go to someone, talk to someone. You know, there's someone out there that can love you. There's someone out there that will be able to listen to you, pray with you, help
Amen.
You and build you back up, and not allow yourself to get so deep into a rut and allow the enemy to overtake your mind to a point where you don't even know how to come back from. It's like the point of no return. We get so deep till we don't know how to get back.
Amen.
So I thank you
Amen.
For that. I thank you for that, Pastor. Now, another question is, we've seen a lot of situations, you know, concerning suicide, but we also seen situations of a lot of leaders committing suicide and taking their lives. Why do you think that there's such a huge attack on the leaders?
I believe that's such a huge attack on the leaders, as I was stating a few minutes ago. You have to understand, when God called us to a place, Satan does not want us to get to where God has for us. God has ordained us. He's anointed us. He has placed within us purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God. So the enemy, if he can stop your destiny in its infancy and cause you to stop your own destiny, then he feels that he's doing something. But a lot of the leaders, there are one and two reasons that I believe that when the enemy attacks the leaders, that really comes to my mind. And that is, one, some are in a leadership position that should not be, and they cannot handle the overwhelmingness of it. Some have walked in a place that they can't come back from, and they don't understand how to deal with it. You know, statistics show that 72% of leaders do not even study the word of God until they are studying for a lesson, until they are studying to begin to bring the word.
Right.
We have to stay in the word of God in order for us to be able to battle them. They are overwhelmed. Some of them aren't paid. The pay isn't good. Some of them are beginning to have family issues due to the timing that it takes to minister and lead and be away from home. So the enemy has to come in and plant this seed in their mind that they're not doing what God has called them to do, that they're overwhelmed, they can't get back from it, that they can't do anything. So what we have to do is begin to meditate on the word, because the word tells us to meditate on it, and the enemy seeds won't begin to take root. If you meditate on the word, it will not take root, because we have to take our thoughts captive. And as I said before, even as a leader, that was something that I struggled with. But because I was able to take those thoughts under captive and I was able to focus and say, God, you have a plan for me, and I begin to believe every word that God said about my situation, and I trusted God to handle my situation, that didn't take place. And I began to repent and ask God to help me that I would never think like that again, because, you know, we have to understand, guys, that it doesn't make you weak because you think of suicide. It has nothing to do with being weak or strong, because I was a very strong woman. It has something to do with an emotion that Satan takes that opportunity when you're at your lowest, when you're not fully prayed up, when you're not able to be in the presence of God because you focus on your situation. He takes that, he pounces on that, and he begins to cover our minds, because the battle is in your mind. When you begin to think a certain way, you begin to react to that thought, amen? You begin to go toward that thought.
That's right.
And sometimes we even begin to think that, hey, it's not even about our problem. We begin to think that we are a problem to others because of our problem. So we now begin to think, well, if I commit suicide, I will no longer be a burden to my family, especially people who have health issues. Satan just always comes in to attack our mind. And I believe that in order for us to cover this situation, in order for us to get through this situation, is in the word of God, in the word of God, staying with your mind, stayed on him. The Bible says that in Psalms 31:15, the Bible says that our times are in your hands, meaning that we don't choose when we go. God already has a set time of when we're going to go. But he says our time is in his hands. But we begin to take it upon ourselves to get out of our issues. And I want to encourage anyone that has ever struggled with this that you can overcome this. You really can overcome this by changing and renewing your mind and meditating on the word of God daily, because God will pull you out of it. He will bring you through it, and that seed will not be able to take root, because in order for that seed to take root and you commit to action, you have to keep giving into that thought. When you wake up and you feel low and you feel down, and the first hint of a thought of suicide, begin to go to someone. Begin to go to your leaders that you can trust. Begin to go to your family members that you can trust. Begin to go to the word of God and begin to pray and meditate. And, you know, we have to stand bold against Satan and let him know, I don't belong to you. I don't belong to you. And that you're telling me, God has a plan for me. I have a purpose, and my purpose isn't what you're saying. I have children. God has a purpose of ministry. There are lives that need to be saved. And how can I do that if I'm dead? But I didn't really want to die, and most people don't really want to die. They really just want to alleviate their pain. They're not even focused on the long-term consequence of their action. It's just, I don't want to hurt anymore. I don't deserve this. I don't want to go through this no more. How can I get out of this? And with leaders, some of them are ashamed of their actions. Some of them have committed some things and they have gotten ashamed, and because of their shame and their guilt, they have allowed themselves to be under condemnation. They have allowed themselves to focus on what the public and the people have to say, because they're already overwhelmed.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen to that. I love how you broke that down, Pastor. I love it. Just to give you what God gave me to the people of God, Ephesians, one of our scriptures, Ephesians 6:12 states that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we ask the question, okay, so how is it that suicide comes about? How is it that the enemy can take just a thought and get a person to actually think upon it or act upon it? And what God showed me with, you know, reading, studying, and through Revelation is that when, like Pastor said, when the enemy gives us a thought, we are supposed to immediately cast that down, immediately.
Amen.
When we don't, when we begin to entertain those thoughts, when we begin to actually think of these thoughts constantly, we're opening a door for the enemy to come in and allow him to plant a seed bigger. Once you begin to think upon something so much, it's not hard to go and act upon it, you know, and it's a fight, it's a daily struggle. And sometimes, you know, we are so quick to point things out and be like, well, that's the spirit, well, that's the demon, or, you know, the devil made me do that. But you have to understand the enemy does not have power unless you give him power. He cannot make you do anything. He cannot make you say anything unless you allow him to give you, unless you give him power to do so. And so what we need to understand is that once you become in agreement with what he is speaking, once you agree what the enemy has said to you, you allow him to have access to your mind. You allow him to constantly pour those thoughts into your mind, constantly pour those that thinking, you know, that intoxicating thinking into you. And so we need to be careful of these thoughts. We need to be mindful of these things. If it does not line up with the word of God, it is not of God. It is not of God. If it does not line up, it's not the will of God. When you're sitting there saying, you know, I'm not good enough, that devil is a lie. You are good enough. You know, God created you the way that he created you. That's right. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, that is not the will of God. When we talk about not being loved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, we got to get to the point where we stop trying to accept things from everybody else and really understand who God made us to be, what he has destined for us, what our purpose is, where he's trying to take us. We don't have time to give thoughts into that. One thing that I love reading Derek Prince's book. Derek Prince stated in one of his books that the greatest problem that people have is thinking that no one else has suffered what they are suffering right now. We get to a point where it seems like our pain is so unbearable. And when people try to help us, we're so quick to say, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know how great this pain is. And the thing about it is we may have went through the same encounter, but we may have took it a different way. You know, you may have experienced it. Your feelings of it may have been different from my feelings, but that does not mean that I don't understand the pain that you're going through. And so Derek Prince really, really elaborated on that, because we need to understand that this is a battle. This is a war. When we go to pray, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, it says our Father, not just my Father, but our Father. We are abiding. We are the children of God. We're supposed to be in this thing together. And so it's not just you out there by yourself. It is all of us together. This is a fight that we can fight together, and we are stronger together than we are alone. So I thank God for that. I thank God for, you know, giving us that and showing us that. And you know, if you have any questions, you have concerns or anything, I ask you to go ahead and press the number one. We'll go ahead and bring you up. I have another woman of God who can come up and speak to us on her experiences, and we're just going to take what God has given us, these testimonies, this encouragement, and we're going to transform our mindset. We are not going to get off of this teleconference, this radio show, without having our minds renewed. You know, if you need us to pray with you, stay and pray with you, let us know. We'll pray with you because, you know, we all need prayer. I need prayer. I need prayer. You know, we're all supposed to come together. Yes, Pastor?
I'm sorry. I want to also say this really quick. It's kind of touching on what you said, but to make it even plainer for the people, what we need to understand is when the enemy plants a vain imagination in our mind, we actually have two choices once that imagination hits our mind. We can either begin to cast it down or meditate on it. And when we meditate obeying images. You think of this. When you begin to meditate on it means giving it for sure thought. You're pondering over it. You're sitting there with constant thought of it and constant thinking of it and what to do and allow it to affect you. But when you meditate on vain imaginations, you know what we do? We tend to connect demonic dots that create a skewed picture of reality. When we meditate, we're connecting demonic dots that begin to make that picture look very different. And believing what we see in our thought life is real, because that's what happened. We begin to believe what we think in our head. We begin to believe that this is real. We begin to talk ourselves into taking the action based on a wrong perception that was given to us.
Wow. Wow. I love it. I love it. Glory I love it. Love it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I thank God for what He's doing. And you know, Pastor, I'm just excited, and I'm just in expectancy of what God is going to do, because, you know, I keep saying it, and I can't say it enough. We need to be made aware. We need to know these things.
Right.
We need to be able to come together and learn how to fight against these things. We can't afford for the people of God to continually be depressed, oppressed, possessed. You know, we can't afford that. You know, the battle is getting stronger and stronger every day. And we have so many people of God, strong people of God, warriors, fighters, that are falling at the wayside because we don't know how to fight. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to overcome. We don't know, you know, we don't have the education and the knowledge that we need. You know, we say we have it, and sometimes we don't have it. Not to say that, you know, everybody has all the answers, not to say that, you know, we think that, you know, we are more than others. No, it's not that.
Right.
But when I can come to you, Pastor, and I can give you something that God gave me and you can give me something, you never know that the word that you give me may be what I'm dealing with to be able to help me overcome the situations that I'm in, that I'm facing.
Exactly. And just to know
that
somebody actually cares and won't misjudge me based on my situation. I don't want to call her name, but there's a testimony of a young lady that I've been mentoring, and I've been like a spiritual guidance to her. She did an unthinkable thing, and it caused, she's been battling with suicide, but she faked the pregnancy for over 9 months. And recently she just lost her job due to it because they found out that it was a fake, and she took off work and she did all these things. And she said, but I'm overcoming this. You know, she said, a lot of people have left me, and I've just been having these thoughts that I can't make it back through this. And I said, here's the thing. Those people that left you were meant to be away from you in the first place. God is going to rearrange this situation for you if you just stand. And she reached out to me and she said, I'm so grateful that I still have you and that somebody is still here with me and are not just, you know, casting me down. And I said, we all make mistakes. And I believe, sister, that if we just begin to reach out, like you said, we never know who has a word for us. You know, we have to
make sure
we're not listening to the negative people, because everybody's not going to understand your situation. We have to be mindful and begin to pray. Lord, who can I take this to? Who would you have to lift me up in this moment? Who would you have to teach me and guide me and love on me at this time, God? Because I need some, you know, sometimes we go through it and we, because we can't see God or often feel God in the tangible like we want to, we need to ask God, who can He bring to us so that they can love on us and we can feel the love of God through them? Because we have to know that we are priceless to God. We're the apple of His eye, and He would never have us to take our own lives, because actually, if you think about it, it contradicts who God is. He says, thou shalt not murder. Even though suicide, we killed ourselves, is still considered self-murder. So like you said earlier, it contradicts who our God is, and He's a loving God, and He will bring us through our situation. He will pull us through that storm. Just hold on, hang on just a little while longer, and you will get it together. God will put that thought in your mind. He will cover every negative thought that the enemy has pushed forward to kill you, to destroy you in your infancy, to cause you to have a spiritual abortion. He will
push you
through it and cause you to give birth to what He has placed inside of you.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, God.
Thank you.
And you know, Pastor, there's no situation too great that God can't handle. And that's what we need to know. There's no situation that He can't handle. You know, I've seen, you know, stories of, you know, I lost my job and here we feeling like there's no way out. You know, I can't feed my kids, so there's no way out. And we have people that get so consumed and so overwhelmed with these these things, and sometimes we have to understand, you know, I work. I get a weekly paycheck. You know, I thank God for my job, but it's still a material thing. That job is not going to get me where I need to get. God is going to get me where I need to get, not the job. And so we get so consumed with these things till, you know, we're looking at the materialistic part of it. You know, I need this, I need that, I need this, when God is the supplier of all. He is my Jehovah Jireh. You know, even if I don't see it before me, I have the faith to know that God is going to do it. He's not a God that's going to lie. God has put, he's put his name out there on the front, forefront. He's put himself out there.
Right.
And he says, this is what I'm going to do for you. So even if you don't see it, that doesn't mean that he's lying. You just got to wait until it manifests for it to come to you.
Yes.
We have to understand that. It is so important to know who he is, you know, to know that he's a God that loves us, to know that he's a God that, you know, he wants to see us succeed. Doesn't matter about our failures. It doesn't matter if you fail. Doesn't matter if you sin. God loves you. He'll pick you up if you allow him to and transform your old ways to new ways. There's nothing that God can't. Nothing that he can't do, nothing that he cannot handle, nothing that's too hard for him. And, you know, I can say that during my journey of ministry and through my journey of life, that there have been situations to the point where I'm like, you know what, God, I know that you said this, but this is what I see. And we all can say that. We can, you know, all testament to that, you know, that, you know, we hear what God is saying, we see it, but sometimes what we see in the natural, we allow it to overtake what we know in the spiritual. And, you know, I have been to the place where I'm like, you know what, God, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can make it through this. I've done some shameful things. I've done things that I had no business doing. You know, I had things that I had to wear outside. I had people to see. You know, people to point, people to say, you know, this and this and that, but still, I still had a God that loved me. I still had a God that cared. I still had a God that when I didn't have nobody else, he was the one that rocked me to sleep at night, the one that comforted me when I cried, you know. And so I feel like, you know, we need to understand who he is, what he is, because he'll never lie. You know, it's like he's standing out there with his arms stretched saying, you know, I'm waiting on you. I got this covered, but I'm waiting on you to realize that I got this covered. So I'm just grateful. You know, I'm going to stop talking so much because we still have someone else to bring on the line. But, Pastor, when I tell you that I'm excited because I believe and I trust God that he won't fail us.
Yes.
I trust and believe that, you know, when we planned the show and God gave us this title and we planned the show and we prayed about it and we studied it and what God gave us, I know him to be a man that won't lie. I know him to be a God that won't disappoint me. And I know that through this show on today that somebody is going to be able to think differently from what they was thinking before. And so I'm excited and I'm grateful.
I agree. I'm excited with you, woman.
So
God. I'm
thankful.
Very excited.
Yes,
remember, God has put us in place
so
for nothing. He's using this show. He's using your experiences. He's using the testimonies. Remember, the Word of God says that we are overcome by testimonies. Amen. And remember, the overcoming part is not only do we get through it, but because we testify and give testimony and show people that, yes, you can get out of it because we can relate to them. Amen. And when
that's
you begin
it.
To relate to somebody who has struggled with something, they realize that they're not alone. And I believe that God has used this time and this season right now, letting them to show out and to show himself and to manifest himself in the people, to show them that I am still with you. Let me share with you some of my children that have went through this and came through it because of me. So I believe that it was a day for this season and this time for you to bring this forth. This is a very sensitive topic still, but it is an amazing topic so that we won't walk around here clueless and blind to the tricks and the wiles of the enemy over our lives, because nothing is too hard for God to do. You can get through anything that you are going through with God.
That's it. And I mean, that's it, you know, that's it. That's all you can say. God got it. You know, he got it. So I'm thankful. I have another woman of God who's going to come forth. She's going to give her testimony, but real quick, we're going to take just a quick break real quick. We'll make sure that everything is straight. And, Pastor, just hold on. We'll be right back. And to the young lady, I do see you here. And when we get back, we're going to bring you on. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free, and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise, and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if his people prayed?
Your church, business, or events with us, please contact Kia at 803-658-8507. Real talk for real people.
Join us on Wednesday, January 28th at 12 noon for our empowerment teleconference entitled Stepping Away from Fear in 2015. Our special guest will be Bishop Brown III. Call in at 773-897-6132. Get ready to shift your life. Real talk for real people. Would you like to advertise your ministry, business, or events on the greatest Christian radio station? Well, now you can. If interested, please contact Lady Nakia at 803-658-8507 or email us at
fearfullymade30 at gmail.com. Real talk for real people.
You are now tuned in to Real Talk with Kia, where we bring it to you real. Here is your host, Kia Evans.
Hi, everyone. We are back with our second part of our show on suicide. Great information. Great time, guys. I'm thankful for what God has done, what God is still yet doing on this call, on this show. We have another young lady that I've been connected with that is going to come and share with us what God has done for her. I've known her not too long, just a little bit, but I do believe that when God connects you with someone, it is for a reason. So I thank God for her. I thank God for her being willing to come and share with us. I thank God for her, you know, being obedient and just being like, yes, I want to be able to share what God has done with me, with the world. So, Lady Sequoia, how are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. How are you doing?
I am doing great. I am doing great, lady. Thank you so much for coming in and calling in and just being willing to share the goodness of God with us.
Thank you so much for the invite. It is my pleasure to share with your audience because as you all have been talking this evening, it is something that is very, very real, and a lot of times it's not talked about. So I thank you so much for being a willing vessel to even bring something like this to the forefront. So thank you.
Thank you, God. Thank you. So tell us about your experience. Tell us what you've encountered and let us know what God has done for you.
Absolutely. For me, as you said earlier, I dealt with suicide at a very early age. I don't remember when the thoughts first were planted, but I went through a lot of situations. Growing up, I was molested by a family member. I dealt with being in an unstable home environment. It wasn't an environment where it was a lot of emotional support. My mother, she dealt with things, you know, in her childhood as well. So I believe it was something that was generational. So she couldn't be there for me like I expected a mother to be. So oftentimes I felt as though I was on my own. I felt very isolated. Looking back as an adult, I realized that I was a very depressed child. I remember crying a lot of nights, just being in my room in the dark, just crying, and nobody in the house. I would have my brother and my mom. Nobody knew, you know, that I was here, you know, in my room, you know, laying on my bed, you know, crying, you know, under the covers. They didn't know anything. And so the thoughts of suicide, you know, like you talked about earlier, you know, you're feeling overwhelmed, you're feeling, you know, you just want the pain to go away. And so that was something that, you know, I wanted for myself. I didn't want to feel the way that I was feeling. So I thought, well, hey, if I'm no longer here, then I don't have to deal with this pain. I don't have to deal, you know, with the thoughts of nobody loves me, or, you know, thoughts of God doesn't love me. These were the thoughts that the enemy were feeding to my mind. So I thought, well, hey, if I'm not here, I don't have to feel any of this anymore. And so I actually did attempt suicide. I remember going into the kitchen, and what I chose was a butcher knife. And I went into my room, and I was by myself, and I remember pointing the knife at my heart, because for me that was symbolizing how much pain that I felt. It was just that deep for me. And so when I pointed, you know, the knife at my heart, I was it was a moment where I was like, okay, am I really going to do this? Can I really do this? And I remember hearing a voice, a small whisper, saying, I love you. And at that time, I was not saved, but something in me heard that voice and registered that this must be God. And like I said, that was the issue with me, with the enemy planting seeds in my mind, that God doesn't love you, nobody loves you. So to hear a voice say, I love you, and something in my being recognized that, hey, this is God, I immediately dropped the knife, immediately dropped that knife. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I never attempted it again. But the enemy, of course, he would try to come back to you so many times. So even in my adulthood,
yes.
especially living on my own, as you talked about, you know, you're on your own and you have your financial situations and stuff like that. So that was another time that he attempted to plant thoughts in my mind. And this time he even went as far as like having images. And, of course, I believe because of my early experience, he brought back the knife again as far as like me using a knife to kill myself. And but this time I'm able to, as a believer, be strong enough and use the word of God before God had
yeah.
to speak on my behalf. But now as a believer, and this is about 3 years ago, to be honest, I was able to use the word and say, you know what, no, this is not of God. You know what, my life is not that bad where I have to feel like I have to take my life, you know, because I feel so overwhelmed and so, you know, down about my financial situation. It's not worth it. It's too many people that are counting on me. So thankfully, by knowing the word of God and being able to battle literally, you know, I was able to overcome it once again. And that night, I just love how God is, because he knows when he knows us. And just to feel the love of God, like that night I felt the presence of God with me like I never did before. It's like I felt like God was just literally hugging me, and I was living by myself. And that's another mm-hmm. trick of the enemy, is that he likes to isolate you. He likes to
yes.
use manipulation, make you feel just so overwhelmed that you just feel like, hey, it's nothing else for me to do, like Pastor Lee was saying. But, you know, I'm here as a testament that you can overcome this, that you don't have to be subjected unto the authority of the enemy, because in reality, we have authority over the enemy. We just have to exercise that authority and know that we don't have to listen to or entertain those thoughts at all. We don't have to do it. And so I just thank God just for you, like just for you opening up this door to be able to share, because God is just so awesome and so amazing. And I look at my life now, and it's oftentimes that I reflect back, and I'm like, God, you know what? I'm so glad that I did not go through with it, because the people that I've met, the places that I've gone, the things that I have done, I would not have been able to do had I not been here. And people are waiting on me, so it would be selfish of me not to, you know, do what God has called me to do. So it's just so amazing to just see my life now, so amazing.
Wow, woman of God, that really touched me. I thank God for that. I thank God for, you know, your testimony, and you know, you are a true testament of faith, a true testament of somebody who has overcome, you know, the enemy's tricks and his little schemes and everything that he's tried to plant against you. And I thank God for that, you know, because, you know, when you can stand and tell somebody else, you know, I've been there, I've dealt with it, you know, and especially when someone's dealing with it, it's easier for that person to say, you know, I can look at you, and if you made it, I know that I can
yeah.
make it. You know,
absolutely.
I may need your hand, you may need to grip, you know, You may need to help me up a little bit, but if you can
yeah.
do it, if God can do it for you, then I know that God can do it for me. And
absolutely.
So, woman of God, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You had something else to say? I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say that it's awesome when you can get to with people, because I remember, like, being younger, like, God would send people who were women, because that's something that I did in my life,
mm-hmm.
that they would love on me. And even now as an adult, I make sure I have people around me that will love on me and that I can talk to, because I was the type of person where I was afraid. I didn't trust anybody because of what I went through as a child. So now God has allowed me to open myself up to people and to talk to people. And also people think because you're in church or because you're saved that the enemy is not going to try to attack you. If nothing else, he's going to attack you even more, because you literally are a threat to him. So he
yes,
is going to try to take you out as quick as he can, you know, because you are literally a threat. So because you're in church doesn't mean that you are not going to be faced with issues such as, you know, suicide, because people don't think that church folks deal with issues such as suicide, but it's so rampant, but people don't talk about it, and it's something that needs to be talked about even in the church.
Yes, it is. That's right. Yes, it is, and you are so right, because we, like I keep saying, the people of God need to be aware, you know. I'm all for, you know, sometimes I say that at some point of time, you know, I believe in sitting down and getting the meat of God, getting the word of God. Teach me how to go through what I'm going through. Teach me how to fight it. Teach me how to overcome it. Teach me how to win, not just on today, but every day. You know, teach me how to live a victorious life. You know, there's nothing wrong with praising God, but sometimes we get so accustomed to the dance so much. We jump up and we dance all church, and then you go home and you're dealing with all kind of hell, and you don't know how to get out of it. You know, so I thank God for this, because this is the vision of this ministry, to be aware, to be educated, you know, to show the people of God, you know, there is another way of life. We don't have to be consumed by this. We don't have to be drowned out by this. We don't have to give up, because we already have the victory. God gave David the victory. David just had to go and get it. God had told him, you know, I'm going to give you victory for this. All David had to do was show up and get it. That's it. You can't claim the victory if you're not going out there and getting it. Thank you, woman of God, because you definitely gave us victory on today, for what you have shared with us. I'm so grateful to you, because sometimes it's not easy to give a testimony. You know, sometimes people, we're not completely healed of our past, you know. We're not completely delivered from it. And so we try to hide it and things like that, and we don't want to be able to give it out. And there's somebody waiting just to hear what you have to say, somebody that needs to hear what God has done for you. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Pastor, are you still there? Pastor Lee?
All
right, guys, I thank God.
Glory to God.
Oh, I can hear you. There you are. Okay.
Oh, glory to God.
Yes,
I've been talking this whole time. Didn't even know you guys couldn't hear me. Praise the Lord. What an awesome, blessed testimony. I've been talking while she was talking.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you. I'm just, Pastor, I don't know what to say. I'm
this
speechless at the move of God. I am. I really
am.
I'm speechless.
What came to my spirit as the woman of God was speaking that was so prevalent. I'm so sorry that you guys can hear me. Obviously, I had my phone on mute, and I didn't realize it, and I'm standing talking. But remember when she was talking about being at a young age and her mother, and nobody thought she was home? God began to fill my spirit with that there are so many young children that are struggling with things at a young age that they feel as though nobody is there. And we as parents can help eliminate that. And I want to share a testimony to go with what she just said as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, she's 9 years old. And the other day, she was up late at night, and we were just in here. And most people know I have been a little under the weather. And she's like, you know, I was like, okay, girl, go ahead and go in the room. I'm busy. And it was a look in her face that God quickened my spirit and said, no, don't send her in the room. You need to talk to her. And I called her back, and I said, Deja, tell me about your day. I was like, just talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, she took a big deep breath, and I'm like, she's not. What is it that she needs to tell me? And she just began to talk to me about, Mom, I'm having peer pressure at school. And she's 9 years old, and this is her exact word. She said, you know, Mom, the Jezebel spirit in the Bible? I said, yeah. She said, well, I have an Isabella spirit that I need to get rid of. And I was like, huh? She said, there's a girl at school that I've been trying to be like. And she said, this has been bothering me for so long, and you don't understand what it means for you to come talk to me, Mom, because I've been dealing with this, and I know I shouldn't follow other kids, but I'm under so much pressure. I just feel like I need to be like them, and I couldn't come and talk to you because I knew if I told you, you would tell me, baby, you don't need to worry about that. Go on and just let that go. She said, but I needed to hear you talk to me, you know?
Wow.
And so when the woman of God just gave her testimony, that just confirmed what God has been speaking to my spirit, that we as parents also need to make sure that we're taking time out to speak to our children and listen to them and not just, you know, not just encourage them to say, oh, go on, you'll make it through it. We need to listen to them and get in depth how they feel, because this is something that my little girl has been actually dealing with for months but was afraid to come and talk because she knew that I would encourage her by telling her, it's okay. You don't have to worry about them. Just go on and let God deal with it. No, she really needed me, and we ended up having a three-hour talk. And it was something that was very emotional to her. So if we can catch mm-hmm. that emotion before the enemy begins to plant the seed in their minds of suicide, if we can pay attention to our children at a young age before the enemy begins to plant that seed, we can actually stop that and intercede what the enemy meant for their bad and help God, let God use us as vessels to stop that and intercede on that behalf. That's
a powerful testimony. That's right.
Child.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was powerful. That was powerful. I was over here trying to hold myself together. Yes. Trying to hold myself together just so you can hear me when I get back on the mic. So I thank God for that. Yes. I'm just, and, you know, Pastor, you were so right because, you know, sometimes we're so quick. You know, we train our kids up in Christ and, you know, we tell them that, you know, God will fight our battles. And, you know, sometimes we just leave them with that. You know, we just leave them with that, and that leaves them alone when, you know, maybe they just need to come out and talk. So I thank God for placing that on you because for a mother, you know, that's something that we all need to take into consideration, you know, to make sure that, you know, we don't allow the enemy to plant root in our kids' mind because they're young, they have imaginations, you know, their mind is all over the place sometimes because, you know, they're watching movies or they're doing this or they're drawing. And at a young age, you're just to discover and know yourself. Your mind is everywhere. So we do need to take into account of, you know, making sure that the enemy does not start to plant that in our children's mind and to make sure that we're covering them and praying for them.
Amen.
You know, when I walk my daughter to the bus stop, I'm praying. She's talking, but sometimes I'm praying. I'm silent because I'm praying and covering her because once she gets on that and go to school, you know, she's in God's hands. And, yes, I trust God with everything, but the enemy is he's doing what he want to do, you know, and you know, we allow him to do it. And so that means that it's not just enough for me to say, okay, God, you cover her. Sometimes we got to go and kill those things beforehand, before they even walk into that schoolhouse. So I thank God for that because, you know, we need that, and we all need to take into consideration of our children, what they're dealing with in school, because, again, right, suicide, depression, all of that, it has no age limit. It starts very young. That's right. It starts very young. The enemy he'll find the opening, and he'll go right into it. And we have to be accountable for that because, you know, we can't allow that. You know, we have to take control. God gave us the authority to overcome, to deal, to cast down, to cast back, and that's what we're supposed to do. So I thank God for that. Pastor, as we get ready to close out, and I thank you for coming today. I thank you for sharing with us today. I thank you for the encouragement that you have given me on these last couple of weeks. Preparing for this show. You know, I thank God for you being a person in my life that has been very encouraging, very empowering, and you've kept me on my feet. And I thank God for you. I thank God for the connection, you know, because, again, that was my prayer. God, I need you to connect me with like-minded people that are in you. And so I thank God for that. You are an amazing woman of God, and I can't wait until God bring us together. You know, we've talked a little bit on, you know, teleconferences on Facebook, but I can't wait to be able to see you face to face. I can't wait for that connection.
You are an amazing woman yourself, you know.
Thank you.
Got to take credit where credit is due. You are an amazing woman, and I just want to thank you so much for always reaching out, always opening up your station for others to come in, and always doing the, you know, your title actually fits it, and that's what connected me was Real Talk. You don't mind going into discussions with things that need to be discussed that most of the time they won't preach in the pulpit or they won't preach in other areas. And I just want to praise God for you on today, woman of God, for your obedience and being open to God to allow him to speak to you. You know, you are an amazing woman. You encourage me. You're so willing to help others. And I just want to praise God for you on today and thank God for blessing me with you in my life. You are an amazing young woman of God. And it's just amazing your mindset, how open you are to be a blessing and how open you are to be listening to what God says and always ready to stay in the right place that you may be able to deliver the right things to God's people. So you continue what you're doing and don't give up and give in.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. I love you.
I love you more.
And I just want to ask you one more thing as we close out. If you don't mind, could you close us out in prayer? Let's pray for the people of God that has been on this call.
We're all ready for prayer.
And let's just come. Yes, let's just come. I knew you were. I knew you were.
I was all ready.
Thank God for that.
Oh, glory to your name, God.
Thank
glory
God.
To your name, God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Before I begin to pray, just let me make sure that I say this. We want to encourage each of you. This was to encourage you. It wasn't to denounce your struggle. It wasn't to say that, you know, it's that easy. But we want to encourage you to let you know it may not be easy, but you have a way out. And his name is Jesus Christ. He may not come when you want him, but I guarantee you he'll always come right on time. You are loved. And even if it's something, a situation that you're dealing with that's dealing with your family, you have to realize that you can step outside your family because you have another family, a spiritual family, that God has blessed you with. We are willing, we are able, and we are listening to you. We are looking for you and listening to you and ready to be a blessing to you to help you to get through this situation. So no matter what you're going through, don't you give up and don't you give in to that whisper. You begin to bring those thoughts under the captivity of the word of God because you are priceless to God and worthless to the enemy. And so he needs to take you out. But God says, I'm bringing you in and I'm bringing you up that you may raise up in this nation to build my people for my kingdom. So, Heavenly Father, how we glorify your name today, oh God. How we give you praises and honor, oh God, because you are worthy to be praised, oh God. We give you thanksgiving, oh God, for the show and the platform that you've used, oh God, to reach out to your people, oh God, and to be a blessing to them, oh God. Father God, I cover every mind and every soul at the sound of my voice right now, oh God, against the attack of suicide, against the attack of depression, against the attack of worthlessness, against the attack of rejection, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, who men have rejected, oh God, you have selected, oh God, and we give you all the glory and the praises, oh, today, oh God, that you would cover them, oh God, and denounce every thought that the enemy has placed in their minds, oh God. We give you the praises, oh, today, oh God, and we glorify you, oh God. Satan, we hereby serve you notice that you have been evicted from the minds of God's children, and you cannot overtake them nor empower what God has already set up and ordained. You have no place here, and we denounce you and cancel you out. In fact, we cancel every assignment, every appointment that you have set up today for God's children. We render those assignments null and void. For you have been served, Satan, and you must leave the mind and the home and the atmosphere of God's children. You were never given permission to be here. We will stand by the authority of Jesus Christ that has been given to us by God. And we praise your Lord God Jesus right now. We breathe the blood of Jesus over every soul on this line. For we are overcomers by the blood of Jesus. God, we praise you right now, oh God, that you will increase while we decrease, oh God, that you will continue to teach us, oh God, and lead your children into victory, oh God. We ask you right now, oh God, for those who are heavy-hearted, for those that are heavy-laden, oh God, that you will give them beauty for their ashes, oh God. We praise you right now, oh God, that we will bring our cares and cast them upon you, oh God, and you said that your yoke and your burdens are easy and light. We thank you right now, oh Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Oh God, we know God that there is nothing too hard for you, oh God, and we praise you right now, oh God. If there be a need of any person on this line right now, oh God, we cover it right now. We come to you declaring and decreeing, oh God, believing by faith, oh God, that you are who you said you are and you will do what you said you would do. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, we give you glory, we give you praise, oh God. And no weapon formed against your children shall prosper. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we give you the glory, oh God, right now, oh God. And we take back, Lord God, right now in the spiritual realm, everything the enemy is trying to steal from us, oh God, in our physical realm. In Jesus Christ's mighty name we pray. Amen, amen,
amen,
amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you to those who are still on this line. If you need to reach out to us, Pastor and I, we are very available. Pastor,
yes, Lord, I'm feeling
her Facebook is His Servant Gwen. She's on Facebook. I am under Nakia Evans. If you need us, reach out to us. We'll definitely pray with you, encourage you, whatever you need. We are here to be servants to our Father. And we thank each and every one of you for joining. If you want to know Christ, if you want to know Him,
if you want to have a life and a relationship with him, let us know, and we'll help you. We will introduce you to God. We sure we will walk you through it. So just let us know. Reach out to us. Let us know what you thought about the show. If it touched you, if it helped you, if it encouraged you, empowered you, please let us know, because we want to make sure that we're always doing the will of God, that we're always doing what God wants us to do. Thank you so much. I thank everybody. May God bless you. May you have a prosperous and glorious week. And we will see you back here next week for Real Talk with Kia, next Tuesday at 6 o'clock, same time, same number. Please don't forget that tomorrow at 12 noon, we are having our empowerment teleconference with Bishop Brown. Awesome, awesome man of God. Bishop has been with us since the beginning. He has really kept it real. He's a real man. He's a real man. He's a very godly man, but he keeps it real. He lets the people of God know exactly what you need to know. So I look forward to that teleconference on tomorrow. Same number, everyone, at 12 p.m. If you want to hear the show again, go to my page. I will have it posted. If you want to take this, if there was something in there that you feel like you need to have every day or something that you need to pull, please let me know. We do have CDs available, so please let us know. Thank you again. May God bless you. Pastor Lee, thank you, my sister. I love you. Lady Sequoia, thank you so much. God bless you. I thank God for the both of you. All right, guys, we'll see you next week.
God bless you. Bye, everyone.
Some valleys I have been so very low. I have had some rough times. Some people have really hurt me so. But Jesus was a friend who he was consistent in every way. When Satan tried to kill me, he came and he put him back in his place. He gave me the power. Satan tried to kill.